Okay, so with that, I don't know that there's any other Passpoint type announcements. We'll have our first Passpoint event of the year towards the end of March is usually how that works. That's fine. Towards the end of March, so yeah, now that volleyball's over. Oh, one other thing I did want to mention, it wasn't in Brian's email. The marriage conference is this weekend. We've been talking a lot about marriage. We're doing a marriage class on Wednesday nights, and it seems like, man, we're really hitting this thing hard. They're not on top of each other on purpose, per se, but just be praying for that. If you haven't signed up for the marriage conference, get in a room through the church. It's too late for that, but I'm sure there's still rooms if you want to go. If you just want to go for the sessions, you can still sign up. It's going to be a really good time. I'm excited for it. Make time for your marriage, and so anyway. Also, just be praying for, there's a lot of sickness going around. I mean, there's always different things going, but I know the pews are down and out hard right now with it. So there's just a lot of things happening. Some of the local schools have even closed, you know, trying to get ahead of it and whatnot. And so anyway, just be praying for anybody who maybe is fighting the stuff. You're fine. And anyway, so yeah, we'll be playing back to the Passpoint events. We'll be playing pickleball later in March. Date will be forthcoming, but it'll be towards the end of March. So we'll get all that out there. Okay. Does anybody else have anything that we need to know about? Am I missing anything? I think that's, I don't know. I think that's about it. So let's pray and we'll get going. Again, I kind of expected it to be light today, so it's all good. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for being good to us. I thank you for your word. Without your word, we'd be hopeless, Lord. We could do a lot of things, but they wouldn't be profitable. And so, Lord, I thank you for just leaving us your perfect word to just allow us to know your mind, because we don't have to wonder. You know, there's a lot of different religions out there that think they might know, or they rely on a prophecy of a different person. But Lord, I know that you left us exactly what you wanted us to know, and so I thank you for that. I thank you for just everything that you're doing at HBF, the various ministry things coming up, and volleyball was a success, and I pray that you got the glory for all of those things. And Lord, I pray for the different Passpoint events and the Vision conferences coming up and the Easter service and all the things, Lord. I pray that we don't get bogged down in the things, but we stay focused on you. Because if we do those without you, we're just doing it for nothing. So I pray you're getting the glory for everything. I pray you'd speak to us today as we jump back into what we just barely dabbled our toe into last week, and that you would just anoint the words that are said, put me out of the way. I really don't have anything profitable to say, but I know that your word does. So I pray that you would get the glory for all of it. I pray for the upcoming marriage conference this weekend, and I know the adversary would love to just ruin that, and he would even just this week try to put divisions in the marriages and different things that would come up. So I pray that we would just have our heads on a swivel, that we would be walking circumspect, redeeming the time, because Lord, you desire for us to be there to hear from you. So I pray for Pastor Jay as he's preparing and traveling in, and I just pray you get the glory for all that. So just allow us to stay focused on you this week, in Christ's name, amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 13. That's where we're at. Acts chapter 13. I got started on this last week. We didn't get very far. We started a new thing last week. We're going to do it once a month, the last week of the month. This is the first week of March. Doing the IGO stuff. So we'll circle back around on that, and that's all good. I think that went really well. But We started this section, Acts chapter 13, the first 13 verses, and if you need a handout, Paige has them, but a pattern of personal evangelism. And we really just barely dabbled our toe into this. And so the book of Acts is all about transitions. We're transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We're transitioning from the Apostle Peter to the Apostle Paul. We're transitioning from being very Jewish-focused to now being very Gentile-focused. Everything is changing in God's plan for how he is reaching people, right? And so anyway, all of this is happening in the book of Acts. And so, Paul's now going to take, the lead context for basically the rest of the book of Acts as we move through it. he was lost at the beginning of the book of Acts, and now he's God has met him on the road to Damascus. He's saved his soul. He's allowed him time to kind of get trained up, and now he kind of takes center stage. And so Paul wastes no time showing us a pattern of what a New Testament believer should look like. You know, a lot of times when somebody gets saved, it takes them a while to figure out how to walk as a Christian ought to walk. You know, but Paul doesn't waste a lot of time with that. And so, you know, today we're going to see this pattern of personal evangelism. And then here in a few weeks, when we get back into this, there's a couple things coming up. But anyway, in a few weeks when we get back to it, you know, we're going to see what Paul's pattern in his own personal evangelism going to these different towns looks like. But today, it's very personal. It's what does a pattern of personal evangelism in your life look like? Teaching point one, and I got into this stuff last week, so I'm moving very quickly. Teaching point one, a Christian living life without personal evangelism, they're not walking in the perfect will of God. They're not walking in the perfect will of God. They might be walking, excuse me, in the will of God, but they're not walking in the perfect will of God. Remember Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, you know, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You don't want to just live in the good will of God. You know, I don't want to just live in the, you know, good and acceptable. I don't want to just live in the acceptable will of God. You know, if you're in one, you desire, like, okay, well, if I'm in the acceptable will of God, I realize that, well, that's better than where I was when I was just in the good will of God. And so now you should desire to be in the perfect will of God. And if you're not evangelizing, if you don't have this pattern of, this is just how I live my life, I want to share this with other people, you're not in the perfect will of God. Evangelism doesn't have to be some weird, scary encounter with lost people. A lot of times we think, well, I can't talk to them. It'll be odd. I don't know what to do. And, you know, and this is kind of where I ended this last week. Just let me ask you a question. Did God change your life? At some point, was there a time when it was like, God met me on my own personal road to Damascus and said, you're not going this way anymore. And this is the direction that we're now going to go. If God changed your life, then don't you want to have others have their lives changed as well? Don't you desire to see them transformed from, you know, this road to living for themselves to now being able to live for God, now being able to know that, you know, they have the promise of eternity? Teaching point two, keeping the gospel to yourself is like keeping the cure to cancer to yourself. You know, you have the cure for what ails every man post-Adam. You know, I use the example, we all know somebody. I mean, it's just inevitable at this point that has been affected with cancer. We just do. We all know somebody. And you having the cure to that and being like, yeah, but it'd just be weird if I, you know, had to go and tell everybody about it. Like, that's what you having the cure to sin and death and not telling somebody about it is like. It's very equivalent to that. So anyway, that's all reviewed from last week. So here's what we're going to get into. 7 points to a pattern of personal evangelism. 7 points in our life to a pattern of personal evangelism. Let's just read through a little bit of this. Acts chapter 12 or 13, starting in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So this is where we see God say, it's time for you to take somebody from the church and send them somewhere else. This is where we get the pattern of, you know, sending missionaries. This is where we get the pattern of, you know, taking the gospel strategically from our local New Testament churches and getting it to strategic locations, not just around our city, not just around our nation, but around the world. You know, that's why we partner with different people, you know, in strategic locations. You know, we've talked about a lot of them before. HBF has sent out missionaries to, you know, South America. You know, we've sent missionaries to China. We've sent mission trips to all, maybe not Antarctica, but I think we've sent mission trips to nearly every continent. You know, we are strategically trying to partner with people and get the gospel where it needs to go. Okay, that this is the pattern of that, and so this is where we kind of get all of that. And so but what does that have to do with me? Because I get it. Like, it's Sunday morning, Like, a lot of us were playing volleyball till after midnight last night. You know, what does that have to do with me? Well, let me just tell you, like, there's a pattern here that we have to follow, whether we're taking the gospel halfway around the world or we're taking the gospel to work tomorrow. It's all the same. The gospel's the same, whether it's here, there, or anywhere. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever is what the Bible says. There is no difference. The first point to a pattern of personal evangelism is this lifestyle of faithfulness. There has to be a lifestyle of faithfulness. It says there were in the church, and there were many more, but these are just the ones that are listed. In Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought, and all these different people. And it goes on, and it says, and they ministered to the Lord, and they fasted. They have this testimony of a lifestyle that says, we're going to live different than what the world lives. We're going to be different. Evangelism is just one part of a faithful Christian walk. You know, you can't just go out and evangelize, but then the rest of the time live like whatever you want to live like. Because why? The world will call you a hypocrite. That's the last thing we want to do. It takes multiple aspects to make it work. You can't only evangelize. You can't just evangelize, just like you can't only disciple. They have to go hand in hand. You can't be a good disciple without being a good evangelist. And let me just tell you, you can't be a good evangelist without somehow being a good disciple, right? Or discipler. That's just the way it works. Now, I understand there are people that are gifted in certain ways. Billy Graham was an excellent evangelist. But at some point, if he's not strategically plugging these people in to a church where they can get discipled, then what are we doing? It's the same thing when we send missionaries to different places. We don't want to just go and send missionaries. We want to send missionaries who get the gospel where it needs to go and plug local people into a local New Testament church that, by the way, is not American funded forever, right? That's the last thing that you desire. That's just kind of like a missions tip for you. The last thing we want with especially, third world type countries is to get them just reliant on the American dollar. We're going to get the gospel to them and get them plugged in with a hopefully trained up national type of pastor. But anyway, we'll get into that someday when we're teaching missions philosophy, but we're not doing that today. So you have to have both. If you're going to be an evangelist, it's going to start with a faithful lifestyle to Jesus. If you're going to be an evangelist, it's going to start with a faithful lifestyle to Jesus. What does that mean? I mean, let me just ask you, are you faithful to the Word? Like, are you in the book? Because if you're not in the book, you're not faithful to the first thing. Like, you're not faithful to the Lord. Like, so if you're not in the book, then really, I'll be the first one to tell you, you really have no business sharing it with anybody because you don't understand it. You got to be in the book, right? And are you faithful in the Word? Are you faithful to the church? And not just for your checking your attendance, but I'm like, are you faithful because you understand the benefits that come with being around, you know, other believers? Like, I don't just come here because I'm supposed to be here on Sundays and Wednesdays or whatever. I come here because it's good for me. Like, it's good for me to be around other like-minded people because the rest of the week, you're around all the worldly type of people. You know, and that's by design, by the way. You come here, you get edified, you get sent out, you take it to the world. Sometimes you take it on the chin a little bit and you come back and, you know, you get built back up so you can go back out. It's like the pattern of what God is telling us to do. Get the gospel where it needs to go. You're faithful to church. You have a testimony of faithfulness in your life. You know, it's not just faithfulness to, you know, the church, but like you have a testimony of faithfulness. Like, what does that look like? I don't know. Are you faithful to your family? Are you faithful to your spouse? Are you faithful to your job? Are you faithful to, like, just a testimony of faithfulness? Well, why does my job have anything to do with it? I don't know. Why does your job have anything to do with it? Are you faithful, right? An evangelist is faithful, right? They're faithful to ministry. You might be like, ministry? Yeah, that's doing the work of the Lord for free, by the way. You know, eternal rewards are coming. But I'm just like, don't expect a paycheck. It just doesn't work that way. You know, full-time ministry comes with a part-time check in the form of, you know, eternal rewards. It's just how it works. Praise the Lord. You know, you have to be faithful. Teaching point three, personal evangelism will be ineffective without a testimony of faithfulness to back it up. Personal evangelism, you going and sharing the gospel with people that you're around, it will be ineffective if you don't have a faithful testimony to back it up. You just won't. Why? Because they think you're a hypocrite. Because they think the same way that I thought when I was lost. that you're just here to manipulate me, to get something out of me, to coerce me. Like, it's not that at all. Like, actually, when you see somebody who's just living faithful and just doing the right thing because, well, it's the right thing to do, you know, and they don't talk about their spouse when they're not around, like, you know, they're garbage, and they, you know, they just have this testimony of like, wow, you're different. So wonder what's different about you. And then you actually share the gospel with them, and you're like, oh, well, maybe there is something different about this Christianity thing that I never understood before. Everybody else that I've ever heard it from, you know, they were just saying it, but then they live different. But now you have to have a testimony of personal evangelism, or testimony of faithfulness, or your personal evangelism. It's just not going to work. It just won't. It can't. Right? It just can't. Number two, the second point of a pattern of personal evangelism. Know that you're called. Know that you're called. Later on in verse 2, it says, and then they ministered unto the Lord, and they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, so God tells these guys, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Right? Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. God says, these are the guys that I've chosen to send. Right? These are the guys. Let me just ask you, do you know that you're called? You might be like, called to what? Well, I don't know. I'm asking you. Do you know that you're called? I'm not saying to be a missionary today, right? But, I mean, do you know that you're called? Do you know that you're set apart? Because you are. Like, you were called. Put yourself in this earth. Separate me. Fill in your name to the work that I have called them. It doesn't say, separate me to send them to a foreign land where they don't know the language or anything else. Like, I understand, that's kind of uncomfortable. Most people don't want to do that. Like, I'm like, okay, that sounds kind of fun. But anyway, like, not everyone wants to do that. But separate me for what? For the work that I have called them. You're called. You're set apart. What is it that God has called you to do? We spent the entire year last year asking ourselves this question of, what is it that God told me to do? Now, not me as the leader, but like personally, what is it that God has told me to do? The entire Passpoint class, we spent this entire year talking about like, what is it that God has called me to do? And just doing that. Do you know that the Lord desires to use you? I mean, I think we should know that. You're not going to be at HBF very long and not know that God desires to use you. That's why I think there's multiple layers to this. That's why I think HBF is growing. Because we're actually doing something with the Word, and God's using it. I fully believe that. Like, there are people that are hungry for this. That's also why you see a lot of people that come in, and you see them for 1 week, and they go back out. Because they're like, that's a level of sold out that I'm not ready for. You know, and okay. At least we know where we stand. Like, we're going to stand with the book. This is the only thing that I've got. Yeah, that's all I got. I don't know what else to do. I have nothing else to offer you. Pastor Brian, he has nothing else to offer you. It's the book. This is where we stand. This is what we're going with. You know, I remember one of the best things. Brian used to say it a lot more than he says it now. But like, when I was young in the Lord, this kind of fired me up. He would always say, like, we got to be ready to charge hell with the squirt gun. And I'm like, there's so many problems with that. But yeah, sign me up. Like, let's do it. And so, like, we don't have the resources, but we don't have enough of what it would take to get it done. But you know what? Like, that's what we're called to do. So let's go. And like, that's somebody I can get behind because they believe it and they believe by faith. You know, over and over again in the Bible, that's what God, he uses the weak things to confound the wise. And so praise the Lord for that. So if you don't know these things, that you're called, that you're set apart, that God desires to use you, if you don't know these things to be true, you're probably never going to evangelize. You just won't. Because you don't know that you're called. You don't know. Flip over to 1 Corinthians real quick. You keep your hand here because I usually put the verses in here, but I didn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 to 24. I'll just read it for you. It says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And then here's what Paul says. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is also the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. What he's saying is what we talked about all year last year. Whatever God called you to do, just abide in that. Stop trying to do what he asked other people to do. Stop trying to be like, well, I know there's this huge need over here, and you're right, there is, but he called you to do this, and just do that well. You know, I've always thought this, if we could just do one thing well, then God will call somebody else to do the other things. And if that's you, he'll let you know. But just do one thing well. Abide in the calling that you were called. Like, I love that word, abide, because it's not just like be there, but you, like, you just, you're immersed in it. You're abiding in it. You know, and so that's what we got to do. You know, another reference for that is Romans 8:30. I'm going to keep moving, but you got to know these things to be true. God has called us, not just asked us. He has called us to get the gospel to the world while there's still time. You know, Romans 10:14 says, "How are they going to know? How are they going to hear if they don't have a preacher? How would they? How could they? How would I have ever got the gospel if somebody wouldn't have told it to me?" And you might say, well, we live in America and everybody knows it. I mean, you say that, and I used to believe that, but there's a younger generation that honestly, like, they don't. They have no idea what the Bible says. Like, they didn't, I mean, I'm not that old in the sense of they used to teach it when I was in school, but, like, it was known in the school. Like, this is what the Bible says. It just kind of was. Let me just tell you, there's a generation of kids in the school system right now, they don't know what this says. Because it's not public knowledge anymore. Like, it's just not. And that's why, honestly, for as much as people want to say, oh, the young generation, they want nothing to do with Christ. Actually, they want it more than the older generation does right now. They are seeking it out more than the older generation does. Because why? Because they're realizing all the other garbage that they're sending into their brains isn't doing anything for them. Right? It's crazy. Like, Jesus knew the whole time this was the answer. How are they going to know if they don't hear it? And how are they going to hear it if we don't go and take it to them? They just won't. Teaching point number four, having a mindset of, if I don't evangelize, it's okay because God will get them the gospel through somebody else. That should terrify us. Having this mindset of, well, it's okay if I don't go because, well, I mean, God will get it to them somehow. That should terrify you. And here's why. Because God has asked you to go, right? He called you to go. You're right. God will get the gospel to those. He just will. I've shared a testimony with you before about being in the mountains in Nepal. I'm telling you, like, these guys hadn't heard the gospel in the form of words. But they knew. They knew who Jesus was in the sense of he was the creator. He was the one that made the sun come up and the sun go down. Like, God gets the gospel to them somehow. Okay? What I'm telling you is, how are they going to know the simplicity of it, that we know it, if we don't tell them? How would they? If you know that you're called, but you still don't go, it's disobedience. I mean, it's just like, no, I don't want to. I'm not going to do it. You know, you might be like, well, yeah, maybe. Okay, you say maybe. That'd be like you telling your kids, hey, go and do this. And they're like, I mean, yeah, maybe it's kind of important, but maybe not. Like, no, I don't really want to. I mean, sometimes kids will try that. You know, Hazel comes walking up and she's like, nah, I ain't doing it, Dad. Yeah, I'm just not going to do it, right? You know, that's why child training is so important. You know, we'll get to that at a different time. But, like, yeah, it's one thing. But, like, I say Hazel because it's funny because she's, you know, little toddling around. But you know why it's funny? Because when we train that out of them, you know, we actually see the benefits of it. But, again, there's a world out there that says, well, we don't like to tell our kids no. And then, you know, they get to like 12, 13, 14, and we're like, oh my gosh, if I would have just told them no. Because now they're just a completely rebellious generation, right? Anyway, I'm not getting into child training stuff right now. How many Old Testament promises, by the way, we're reading through, you know, the Bible as a class right now, and how many Old Testament promises are there where God's like, if you will do this, then I will do this? It's like a cause and effect thing. Over and over again, he does this with the children of Israel. Like, and I don't want to say that in the sense of, well, if you don't obey God, then you're going to lose your salvation. It's not like that at all. Once you're saved, you're saved. You're always going to be saved, right? There's nothing about that. But what I am saying is you can lose your inheritance. You won't lose your salvation by any means. But if you choose to just be like, nah, God, I don't want to do it, you are risking your inheritance. I gave a devotion on Friday night to our volleyball team, something we just read last week if you're keeping up with the reading. And you know, remember when Moses leads the nation of Israel across the Red Sea, like he parted the ocean. And he's like, hey, follow me. God's going to do something cool. And they get out after all the plagues in Egypt, and like they're not even a day's journey in. And then the people are like, we don't have any water. We don't want to go back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave. All this. And then God's like, okay, Moses, here's what you're going to do. Take your rod, go to the, you know, the rock of Horeb and smite it. And then water's going to come out. And it happens just like God said. All these things, you know, all this. Okay. Well, fast forward. They send the spies in. They don't want to go. They have to spend 40 years in the wilderness with people dying off. Another really cool thing that I never had really put the magnitude of what that meant was, and it was the 52 weeks book that we're using, and maybe somebody else read this week too, but like in that 38 and a half years that they had to continue wandering in the wilderness, for everybody that was 20 years old and upward to die, that meant like, I think it was like 7,000 and some people had to die every day. Like that was the magnitude of how many people a day had to die for that generation to die out in that, like, to see the effects of saying, no, I don't want to, God. You know, and so anyway, all that happens. Now they're knocking on the door of the promised land again, getting ready to, back to the exact same spot, by the way, because that's another thing that you don't realize when the nation of Israel is walking in the wilderness is they're walking in circles, right? They're, if you just read the different places, sometimes you get lost in the details and you're like, what does this have to mean? Like, it's the same places over and over again. They're just walking in circles. They're at the door of the promised land, and the people are like, you know, the wilderness of Zin, again, same place. We don't have any water. Why'd you bring us out of Egypt 40 years ago just to bring us here and let us die of thirst, Joe? And so anyway, what does that have to do with us? Moses is like, are you serious right now? Like, we're in the same spot. You're asking me for water again. He's like, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the rock, and I want you to speak unto it and say, rock, give us water. Like, I don't know how God said to do it, but that's, he just says, speak to it. I don't know if he was supposed to, like, talk softly to it. I don't know. He just said, speak to the rock. So Moses, he's frustrated at this point. These people are rebellious. And he even says that. You have to go back and get the reading from this week. But he's like, you rebellious people. He even calls them, like, you guys are rebellious. Sometimes you tell your kids, like, I don't know, you guys are just rebellious. At my house, I'm like, when the kids get like that, I'm like, I don't know what you did. I tell my wife this. I don't know what you did to your kids, but like, you know, they are. Anyway. And so God's like, go speak to the rock. So what's Moses do? He's like, you rebellious people, come see what God's going to do. He goes up and he smites the rock twice. And God, he's faithful and he brings the water. But immediately he's like, Moses and Aaron, come here. I got something to say. You didn't obey. And because you didn't obey, after all of the faithfulness for your entire lifetime, you don't get to go in. There were only three people that were told that, hey, you get to go into the... It was Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies that were like, no, we should go. And then Moses was supposed to get to go in. He was supposed to lead them in. And because of his disobedience, God's like, you don't get to go anymore. Nope. And that was kind of the whole devotion on Friday night, was like, if it, an entire lifestyle, an entire lifetime of doing the right thing can be nullified by one moment of just a lapse of judgment, right? One moment of giving in, right? One moment of giving in can ruin your marriage. One moment of giving in can send you to prison for the rest of your life. One moment of doing the wrong thing can destroy a lifetime of faithfulness. It did it to Moses. Moses was God's dude, right? And so, like, we have to just do what he's asked us to do all the time, right? If you'll do this, then I'll do this. That's what God told Moses, right? And only two of them got to go. Joshua and Caleb, the only two. right? Aaron died. Moses, he got to go see it. He got to go to the mountain and see it. I think that may have been worse, right? But anyway, it was just something to think about. Don't just assume God will use somebody else when He's called you, right? Number three, the third part of a testimony of personal evangelism. So you know that you're called, but know that you're sent. Verses 3 and 4. Know that you're sent. So the Holy Ghost says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So that, again, this is the picture of why we lay hands on people. It has nothing to do with like, you know, a spiritual. Anyway, well, that we can talk about that a different day. A lot of people get this really whacked out with doctrine and whatnot. Okay, this is just a picture. You know, there's times that when we pray over people, we just lay our hands on them. It has nothing to do with like us bestowing virtue on them or just basically, you know, saying Godspeed to what you're doing. It's nothing to do with like some weird spiritual. Anyway, okay, so it just gets weird, and I don't want to get too far off into it. So anyway, so they lay hands on them and they sent them away. So they, being Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed into Cyprus. This is the first of the missionary journeys of Paul, okay? Know that you're sent. A lot like the last point, right? If you know that you're called, you know that you're sent. A lot like the last point, but know this. Teaching point five. God will not call you and never send you. God will not call you and never send you. We're not like the Army Reserves where we sign up and we hope that like we get all the benefits of the check, but we hope that we never get called on, right? There are some people that are in the reserves that basically all they ever do is they do their, you know, one week in a month and 2 weeks a year. Praise the Lord, by the way. I'm glad that somebody does it, right? I'm not discounting it at all. But there are some that never have to go to war. And there are some, like I worked with a guy when I was up in the city. He was a reservist, and I think he did three tours, more than active duty people that I knew. Yeah, it's just crazy. And so, like, that's the point. Don't just assume that, like, yeah, I'm called, and I'll sign up, but I'll never get sent. No, if God's called you, He'll send you. Again, I'm not saying halfway around the world, particularly you, but it could be, right? Just know, like, you're called and you're sent. Matthew 28:19-20, right? What's it say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, right? If He's called you, He will send you. Mark 16:15, right? Go into all the world. Acts 1:8, right? Be witnesses unto me and to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. He will not call you and not send you. If you know that you're called, He'll send you somewhere. Well, where? I mean, you could be a stay-at-home mom, and you know who you're sent to? Your kids, first and foremost. Right? You might be like, well, I don't get to see anybody. You go to work every day, don't you? You see somebody, right? You might be like, well, I don't even go. I work on the computer, right? All my work is on the computer box. You probably talk to somebody on the phone, don't you? Like, at some point, if you're called, you're being sent. Whoever it is that you're around that you haven't told, God's like, hey, well, maybe start here. You know? Start here. You know, and if you're like, well, I just don't have anybody, I mean, let me know. I got a whole list of places that you can get involved where you'll be around so many lost people that you're just like, man, I'll go back to the one that I had. You know? And those are just opportunities, okay? They're just opportunities. When you take the step of faith, and you start talking to someone about the Lord, do it boldly, knowing that you were sent to be there. You know, that's the hard thing is we tell ourselves over and over again, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't talk to them. It'll be too weird. They don't want to hear it. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? All the things. Okay. And then you finally muster up. Okay, fine. You know, and we're like, hey, can I ask you about something? Or when we finally do it, we come across so timid. We come across so, like, whatever, yeah, something, like reluctant. We just like, I know, this is so weird. At any point you could stop me and then I'll feel like I did it and I didn't, and, you know. No, we come across so, like, we just don't even want to be there. Like, you need to know that you were sent there. God gave you the opportunity. He is sending you there. Teaching point six. We talked about this a few weeks ago, by the way. God uses sent ones, not went ones. God uses sent ones, not went ones. God will send you. If God wants you somewhere, He will send you there. Don't just decide on your own will, I think I'm going to go and do this, right? I've got this feeling of the Lord that I need to go do this. Be careful. You'll end up leading a cult. Like I'm teaching a class in HBI right now on world religions and cults, and every one of them, it's like the same story. Every single one of them, some dude got tired of the teaching of the Bible, right? Because they all started in the Bible. They got tired of the teaching of the Bible, and they had this special revelation of God. God came and talked to me about this, and we need to add these things and take these things out, and you should follow me, and it's all the same. God uses sent ones, not went ones. You want to be sent somewhere? Submit to the local New Testament church, because God uses the organization, He uses the structure of the church to get the gospel where it needs to go globally. And that's just how He does it. Remember, you know, this pattern of faithfulness? I'm sorry, that's not where I'm at. Okay. Wow. Remember this pattern of faithfulness? You're just doing it day in and day out. Sorry, my notes are kind of crazy. You're right. I thought I was going to get done today, and we're not even, not a chance. Remember this pattern of faithfulness we're supposed to have in our life? You got to live out what you're preaching. Right? You got to live out what you're preaching. Like, stop being so timid when God has sent you to be there. Yeah, hey, can I ask you a question? And the Bible says to come boldly to the throne of grace. Like, we can come boldly to the absolute throne of God and bring all of our petitions to Him. But yet, when we go to share the gospel with somebody, we're super timid. Like, if you can come boldly to God, but you can't come boldly to a lost person, give me a break. Like, you got to live out what you're preaching, right? You won't be sent if you're not already doing it here, by the way. There's been a lot of people that have come through HBF thinking, like, oh, we'll just use this as our sending place. And, like, I'm just telling you, if you don't have a testimony of doing it here, evangelizing here, discipling here, like, being in ministry here, don't think that HBF's going to send you to go do it somewhere else, right? It's just not the pattern, okay? It's just not the pattern. And speaking of preaching, we'll get to preaching next time we're in here. So we're going to have to stop there. Man, I hate not getting done. I don't know. All right, well, let's pray. I get it. Evangelism is hard. I'll be the first one to tell you. It's hard. Most people don't want to hear it from you, especially the people that you're close to, because they knew you before you were saved, and so, like, they just see the old you, and, like, I get it. It doesn't change the fact that God told us to do it anyway. Like, I know it's hard. But go back to the beginning. Did God change your life? Yeah, He did. And if He did, don't you want to see that happen in somebody else's life? Like, I remember the liberty that came, the freedom that came, just knowing that, like, I didn't have to do it myself anymore. Yeah, I want that for everybody else. And so, as awkward as the conversation might be, I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go and do it anyway, because that's what He's told me to do. Right? It's a pattern of personal evangelism. It has to be a pattern. Okay? So we'll pick back up here next time. Let's pray. Father, I love You. Thank You for today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the Past Point class. And, you know, even on days like today where it seems like it's super light and it's like, where is everybody? Lord, I know where people are. They're exhausted from ministry. They're sick. They're working in the ministry right now. They're doing the work of the Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray You'd bless Your Word as they get it, whether they get it online, however they're getting it, Lord. I just pray that the gospel flows through us. We are the conduit to get the gospel where it needs to go. And so I pray that You would just convict us, allow us to have this pattern of personal evangelism in our life. And Lord, I just pray again for the things that are coming up even this week with the marriage conference and the different things. Protect our marriages. Just put a hedge of protection around them, Lord, and allow us to stay focused on you, and don't allow the devil to just even get into it a little bit. I pray for the marriages. I know that there's going to be several of them that are there that are just doing great. And but also I know that I know personally of some that are going to be there that are on their last leg. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just do something miraculous through this whole thing. Just continue tying it into what we're doing on Wednesday nights. And, Lord, I just pray you're getting the glory for all of it. So bless your word today as Pastor Brian gets into it and preaches it. I pray you get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen.